Fuse Box. This is Fuse Box number 258. Avant Gardner. And you may be digging a tunnel to Portugal.
Oh God, oh God. Gotta go, gotta go. Gotta go now, gotta go now. Yup, uh-huh, yeah. Oh, gotta go now. Oh, gotta go.
Yes, friends, it's a new day in this
ongoing poop parade.
Yeah. Well, we're clearly in for some more interesting times, it appears.
Oh, bro, I don't know if I can handle any more interest.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome in to this, the 258th edition of Fusebox, artistically entitled Avant Gardner. I'm your of sound mind and body, but better with a small adjustment to the mid-range, host, Mark Rose, and over there, serenely elevating over the flashing dials and blinking switches, is the emperor of equalization, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Well, thank you kindly. I'm still kind of in shock here. Do you realize how many supposedly smart, politically savvy, all-knowing pundits said it was going to be close, but, you know, logic would prevail.
Yeah, but when has logic ever prevailed in our lifetimes, Mr. Keynes?
Yeah. Well, legacy media machine, as you call it, certainly helped a lot in getting this guy reelected. Re-elected! I can't fucking believe I'm saying that.
I know, I know, I know. You know, we were here in 2016, too. Same exact sense of shock. It would seem to me that there is a distinct pattern here, Mr. Keynes.
We're idiots?
No. I actually think that a common denominator in this thing has been this, what's been called historically the silent majority, which in 2016 was given a megaphone to speak up and out with. And sadly, a whole bunch of those folks are incredibly narrow-minded and ultra-conservative and would be just delighted to go back to the 4th century where they could also keep the little woman in control.
I'll tell you, we've had this conversation many, many, many times. But if that's really the case, I gotta ask myself the hard question. Is this a place I wanna live? A place that would re-elect a scumbag like him?
No, I get it. It's a fair question, you know, and I've been wrestling with the same question myself. As I said, it would seem that the choice was pretty clear.
Unless you think having a racist, 34-time convicted felon, close personal friend of pedophile and human trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, and wannabe dictator for a day is a great idea for a country moving forward.
Yeah, and he did get the popular vote as well this time, which is particularly unsettling. We just got to see what actually shakes out here. As of today, as we record this, the House of Representatives is still up for grabs. The Senate, well, we know that went the other way, but there still might be a chance to hold on to some checks and balances in this ongoing process. Well, friends, we'll have more on this and some decidedly non-political things after this brief pause.
You know, this is really a terrible disappointment to me.
TheFuseBoxShow.com.
It's finally flying out of the chute, friends, and heading to eyeballs near you. Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine, issue number 3. It It's jam-packed with grainy goodness on all 76 pages. Like this, a splendid article by David Phillips on Peter Bogdanovich's 1968 debut film, Targets, starring Boris Karloff in what many consider to be his finest work, which is not bad considering that this film, at the beginning, didn't even have a script. As the story goes, producer Roger Corman was owed 2 days of shooting time from Karloff, and so told Bogdanovich, "Go make a movie, Peter." Read all the details in issue number 3 of Grindhouse Resurrection magazine, available from 42ndStreetPete.net.
Pleased to announce the first annual National IQ Test, coming Tuesday, November 6th. Brought to you by thefuseboxshow.com.
All righty, friends. A couple of updates since we last convened. As some may have noticed, we took a short pause in the production of new releases here.
It was just too damn busy, plain and simple.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's actually true. There was much puff and buzzle over here of late. Numerous things going on, not the least of which was the now officially epic return of a radio series we have been producing since. Are you holding on to your bunions, friends? We've been producing since 1980. Yeah. A series I've mentioned frequently on this very program entitled Dry Smoke and Whispers Radio Theater, which my production partner Gerald McQuinn and I launched initially over a radio station in Tampa, Florida, WMNF, back in the fledgling days of that station, and ultimately managed to syndicate the show to over 60 markets and 3 countries in the ensuing years, even getting an endorsement from speculative fiction writer Harlan Ellison.
Yeah, weren't you in his book too?
Yeah. It's a book called An Edge in My Voice, which came out after a series of articles he was writing for the LA Weekly back in those days. But suffice to say that the show celebrates its 45th year in January, and I'm happy to say that we were able to put this one together. Night of the Eclipsoid Man is the title of this one, and it's a reboot of a story we originally did back in 1980. Actually, I think it was the 6th episode in our first series. The first part of this 2-part epic aired on October 21st on the program Reimagined Radio, hosted by our buddy John Barber. And the second part airs November 18th on the same program. We'll have links to the programs for those interested in the show notes. So let me just say, the folks who we brought into this one, pretty much everybody were alumni of our first reboot of the series, which was, by the way, by design, not accident. And that first reboot went back to 2003, and everybody, absolutely everybody, brought their A game. And we are so very, very grateful for that. well over 230 hours of production time in this one, friends.
How many?
That's right. A wee over 230, Mr. Keynes.
Holy carp.
Yeah. This was a full immersion to produce, and for me personally, way fun. And let me, if I can, I'd love just to give a brief shout out to the folks who provided their voices to this endeavor, if I can.
Yeah, bring it.
Thank you. Mark Hamayoun, Tony Lima, Pat Blem, Tyler Boroff, Greg Alexander, Chris Porter, Linda Gertz, Mason Schuyler, Eric Newsom, Mary Thomas, and Kevin Cook. Again, our sincerest thanks for bringing the goods on this one. And heads up, Next year, we're back with another installment of this series called Secret of the Bronze Griffin.
Holy crap, man. I know there are some, you know, a lot of other things going on here as well. I mean, I saw some of those short films you were working on.
Yeah, it was a full mug of stuff, but not complaining. Seriously, part of why I'm still in this business is that I rarely do the same damn thing twice.
That, and all the chicks, of course.
And before I forget, we're going to be doing a spiffy, enhanced version of those two episodes of Night of the Eclipsoid Man that will have additional material for your thrills and amusement, so If this is something that jazzes you, stay tuned for that. Yes, but also, we want to give a big shout out to our newest Patreon members, Christopher, Blake, and Jesse. We do so much appreciate your support for just whatever it is the hell we do here. But so, once again, many thanks. And just for you, a fuse box cheer.
Yeah, very cool. And, thanks, folks. We'll raise a fuse box whiskey mug in your general direction.
And, friends, if you haven't joined that expectant crowd growing over there at patreon.com/thefuseboxshow, well, please consider doing so. As we say at the end of each show, there is no better way to show support for the program and get free stuff in the process. Okay, so we've mentioned this before, but again, given the circumstances of our political world, I think it bears repeating here. Back in 2016, when we had a previous shift in the cultural and political landscape, we took a decidedly more topical commentary slant on this show. We did that because at the time, the sorts of things that were happening pretty much daily back then, they just weren't the kinds of things that you could avoid addressing. There was a real moral obligation to deal with it, and I think we did. And at the risk of becoming less, quote, fuse box, at times, it is what it is and it was what it was.
So, here the fuck we are again.
Yes. But you know what? Having ridden that pony for those 4 years, I'm not as inclined to saddle up there again. Now, clearly, if something comes up that is affecting us, or possibly affecting him.
Or that couch fucker Vance.
Now don't get me started on that guy. Sorry. The whole eyeliner thing.
What? You don't dig the glam rock Veep?
Non-starter for me, Mr. Kane. So, in short, we're going to try to avoid the overtly political commentary as much as we can. But we got to calls it as we sees it. Too, also.
But just going back to that hard question again.
Yeah.
Seriously, bro. What do you think we're in for here?
Yeah, well, you know, the orange guy has made a lot of bombastic claims, of course. We'll just have to see what really happens in all of this, because at least lately, most of the political froth coming from that hose just doesn't really land anywhere. It's kind of limp.
Yeah.
He's got that, you know, con guy bravado thing, threatens folks a lot. And in a sane society, those threats would put you away, or at least remove you from the proceedings for a while. Here, they're a badge of courage.
I'm still having trouble wrapping my head around the idea that immigration was really that top of mind with the voting public. Really?
Well, you know, I think legacy media and his machine did a great job in fanning the xenophobia among certain voters.
But you see, this is what gets me. It's kind of showing its hand. You know, a nation of racist idiots.
Well, you know, I had so much confidence in women voters who, as I figured they would, they did. They stepped up more than like 3-1 over men because, well, you know, their rights are on the line. Another thing to keep in mind here is the utter failure of the Democratic Party to connect with working class folks. This is a serious problem that proved itself rather dramatically this time as the orange guy got the popular vote as well.
What do you mean?
Well, I think they just spent too much time celebrating the fact that Republicans were jumping ship and joining them and then spending any time connecting with the working class voters who would actually determine the result of this election. You know, Bernie Sanders warned them about this early on, way, way, way back before Kamala Harris stepped in. What we got from the Dems, other than the quite accurate description of the threat of another orange guy term, were definite plans for the future, but not the type of things that were ringing with the working class folks.
Deportation is ringing? Shooting your adversaries is ringing?
The truth, no, I know, but the truth is the electorate wasn't hearing that. They were hearing, you're all fed up. The economy is lousy. There's too much regulation on your lives. The xenophobes, the racists, all those miscreants are hearing what they want to hear. But clearly, the electorate wanted a change and felt overwhelmingly that they were indeed going back.
Well, they may get a change, all right. Just hope they like the color brown, because they may all be wearing the same uniform come January.
And you know what? To that, I want to add one thing that has bothered me for a few years. And that is the supporting of this war machine under the current administration. The outright genocide, ethnic cleansing of a population that we just seem to be rubber stamping over here, and the irrational continuation of what seems like more of a business transaction than actual assistance to the folks in Ukraine. This is just ridiculous. Orange Guy says he'll stop the Ukraine thing in a day. Well, you know, I personally shudder to think what that solution looks like. He hands the keys to the country to Putin? I don't know.
Well, I hear you there. That should have been a done deal. Negotiated and done. It really looks like this thing is just way too green to let go. It kind of stinks.
It really does. It really does. But as a contrast, there were lots of wins in this election as well, except for the usual places, of course. Places like, say it with me. I just got to mention this one because this happened just days before the general election. And this one, by the way, submitted to us by our senior Florida correspondent, Gregory Wilson, who, by the way, had the damn good sense to be out of the country during this election.
He's no dummy.
Safe bet. So here's the deal. And this is from reporting by Kate Payne of the Associated Press. A Florida school board candidate who lost his race in a county just south of Jacksonville will get a seat on the board anyway.
What?
Yeah. After Republican Governor Ron DeSantis tapped him to fill a vacancy.
Holy carp.
It's magic, Mr. Gaines. It's just magic. Derek Bars will take an open seat on the Flagler County School Board in Northeast Florida, succeeding a member who resigned in September, allowing the governor then to appoint a replacement rather than have the seat going on a ballot for voters to decide.
Because, hell, we wouldn't want the voters to decide who they actually want representing them.
Oh, it's just so very complicated, and you might get yourself confused or killed or something. Bars is a consultant with the infrastructure design firm HNTB, and a retired chief of the Florida Highway Patrol, apparently, who campaigned with a focus on school safety and student achievement. He won the governor's endorsement in his bid for the board, but lost his August 20th race by a little over 290 votes to Janie Rudy, a former teacher in the district. I think it's safe to say that the governor has done more to influence local education policies and politics than any Florida governor in recent memory. In the name of, quote, parental rights, the governor has banned instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity and limited what Florida schools can teach about racism and U.S. history. And he's both endorsed a slate of his preferred candidates and targeted incumbent members he wants voted out. Quoting here, Derek is a candidate who is committed to fighting for schools to get back to the fundamentals, the governor said in his endorsement of Bars. Derek has pledged to serve on the school board with a focus on student success, parental rights, and curriculum transparency.
Transparent as mud. Then they try to make you think that a harness and nooses is a terrific fashion statement.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Bars, of course, pushed back on the assertion that he might owe the Sandslug his political allegiance on the board, saying he's focused on building relationships across the community and improving outcomes for all students. I don't owe anybody anything, Barr said, other than working for our students every day and making sure that they have the best quality education possible in our school district.
And that I have the fattest bank account I can get.
So under the Florida state law, the governor can appoint anyone to fill a vacant seat or county seat if there's less than 28 months left in the term for that office. And evidently, it's not the first time a Ron DeSantis-endorsed school board candidate has lost their race and yet been elevated into office anyway. In August, the governor tapped Daniel Foganoli, hopefully I'm mangling that appropriately, for a slot on the State Board of Education after he lost his bid to keep his seat on the Broward County School Board by more than 30%. The governor had appointed Foganoli to the Fort Lauderdale Area School Board two times, though Foganoli never won an election to the body.
Well, there you go. 30% of the voters said, nope. Thank you for your miserable non-service. Now don't let the door hit you on the ass on your way out.
The miracle of political resurrection. Clearly, the voters said, no, no thank you. Yet old Ron picks only the brightest and best, you know. He's left the educational system in that state a gutless yes puppet, serving up only his idea of an educational curriculum. I don't know. When I was in school...
Now, that was before the invention of paper, yeah?
Oh, yes. I'm afraid we had to write on sheets of our own skin, Mr. King.
Ow.
Yeah. See, I was under the obviously mistaken assumption that education was about the exploration of ideas. Everybody's ideas. Agree or not with them. But we do need to know about them in order to be an informed, critical thinker.
Well, now, there's your trouble right there, bro. They don't want you thinking critically at all.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Because then you'll come to realize you don't want to be controlled by these towheads. You want to think and learn for your own damn self.
I'm sure we've not seen the end of the carnage to the educational system down there and potentially everywhere if the orange guy, in fact, has his way.
Yeah, abortion rights had a bad day there, too. I think they needed like 60% vote to ensure a woman's right to choose and came up short by 3%.
It's just ridiculous. We're having to actually fight for things like this. You know, my feeling was, which I guess in some ways was confirmed, but when you give someone certain rights and then you take them away, you create an energy, a rushing to fill a void. Normally, that rushing energy would create a correction in things. In this society, it really has been quite rare to have rights revoked, and that's a good thing. Or was. It's becoming more evident daily, particularly down there in that area, down there, that rights and freedoms are being stripped away behind that excuse of transparency or protecting the youth.
They don't give a rat's nutsack about youth or protecting anything. It's about control. We say it all the time. Control the information, and you control the outcome.
Yeah, we're just going to have to look past all the rhetoric of orange guy's puffery and see what's what. In many ways, certain political promises he made is going to be completely untenable at best. Deporting millions of people may sound great to his rabid followers, but in reality, it would be like a massively expensive proposition to undertake. And how in the hell do you ensure you're getting the right folks in the process? He's also saying children that were born in this country to immigrants should also be deported.
It's not a detail I would want. Oh, and then, of course, they're going to penalize law enforcement agencies by withholding grants if they don't comply with the mission to round up folks.
Well, it just sounds barbaric. But again, he's a con man. Always selling, never delivering.
That dictator for a day thing gives me pause. I mean, if I was really serious about that kind of thing, the first thing I'd do would be dismantle the justice system, starting with the Supreme Court. Who needs oversight when you're a king?
There is that. In some ways, and I know it's kind of dark, but I was kind of hoping that if this was in fact the outcome and he was reelected, that maybe Biden would make, as his final political gesture, use one of those immunity provisions that the very corrupt Supreme Court just gave the office of the president and name the orange one enemy of the state. And well, you know, send him off to a nice retirement.
Now that's magical thinking, bro.
So they tell me. Well, for a moment of levity, as we wrap up this edition of the show, I just wanted to leave you with this little gem, written by Lawrence Overmeyer and narrated by Nancy Monson. A little commentary on legacy media, who is just about as guilty as anybody else in this particular election result. A fitting one, entitled Newsworthy.
Newsworthy. The pundits drivel and drool across the pages of what used to be a newspaper, as if their heady games of political backstabbing and intrigue will actually matter in a year or two. I like to spill cold coffee on their little printed faces and watch their eyes and ears obfuscate into a meaningless stain of ink and goo. Then I take their silly ruminations, folded neatly, to the cat box, where Fluffy has her way with them.
Indeed, it does, friends. A little ear food for thought. And with that, we'll call it a show, but not before thanking our contributors to this edition of Fusebox, Lawrence Overmeyer, Jody Lorimer, and Nancy Monson. Thanks, as always, to the Doctor of Decibels over there, Milt Keynes, for technical assistance, so forth, so on.
Pleasure as always, and folks, we say it every show.
Twice on this one.
Yeah, twice on this one. If you march on over to our Patreon page and become a member, we'll be grateful forever, and hell, get you some free stuff for doing it, too.
Yes, indeed. Patreon.com/TheFuseBox Show is your destination aforementioned. Many thanks to those who have
drunk the Kool-Aid,
climbed aboard. Sincerely, thanks so much. And thanks as well to our friends at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their kind support. And speaking of, 42nd Street Pete returns on our next show with a brand new review for his Grindhouse Minute segment. So please tune in for that one. And thanks muchly to you, friends, for pushing play on this one. We'll get through this. We will. We always do.
Might get through it in Portugal, but yeah, for sure.
I have been your kind of like an eclair, but crunchy and with more hair, host, Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon.
Fuse Box.